Currently 55 degrees and rain in Appomattox, 58 and rain in Salem and Roanoke, 59, you know the drill, in Danville, mm-hmm. and 57 in Lynchburg and in Bedford. And it's just rain. Rain.
Some words of wisdom from our president yesterday.
We need that tough talk up front, and I hope his staff doesn't try to come around and muddy the water.
But that is what's happening, and not for the first time. This was in October.
So are you saying that that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment to do that.
And then came a walk back.
He was not intending to convey a change in policy.
The U.S. military is busy while the president is in Asia conducting airlifts from Europe to the U.S. as part of Operation Fly Formula.
There's about enough formula on that plane, specialty medical grade formula for about a half a million bottles.
And even though issues with supply chains and inflation persist, President Biden claims things won't get worse.
Is a recession in the United States inevitable?
No.
While the president is here in Japan, he's also discussing high gas prices back in the United States, optimistically talking about how he thinks pain caused by expensive fuel right now is really just part of a larger transition away from fossil fuels.
Oh, my Lord. So do they have a peppermint patty signal that they can send up for Jen Jen? Because,
well, she's,
dear
she's,
Lord.
We need your help, Jen Jen. Who thought we'd be saying that? But
Because this isn't working. And if you think for a second that we're not already.
He's wishing it away. He thinks it's.
Recession.
Yeah, we're there. We're there. Goodness gracious. With gas prices and they're not done climbing.
Well, and listen to this. Text that we got from a listener. It says, I attempted to call in an order for pickup mm-hmm. at Domino's yesterday. This was the Alta Vista location. Two large pizzas and a cheese bread. Said normally it's about $35.
Yeah.
Which, you know, isn't cheap, but yeah, it's fine. $67.
Gosh.
$67.
Wow.
And said they don't give deals over the phone anymore.
And that was delivered to the house for that, right?
No. Pickup. $67?
Wow.
For Domino's?
How many breadsticks do you get with that pizza?
I don't know, but not enough.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Who is it? Is it Daryl? Does Daryl do the Domino's commercials? Daryl from The Office. He does one of the commercials.
Pizza Hut.
Oh, he's Pizza Hut. Okay.
Yeah.
Because he does the game commercials now. The guy is all over TV.
He is. I mean, he has an amazing...
cashing in.
Well, he's just got a really great agent.
Yeah, apparently. He does.
That is just insane.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money. So we want to let you know if you happen to utilize 81, particularly 81 North.
Okay.
Just past the 581 interchange. That is a busy one.
Yes.
You're going to have to find alternate routes. Northbound lanes are closed at mile marker 143. There's been a crash there. I'm afraid we're going to see a lot of those with this rain.
The rain, yeah. The water on the road. There's a lot of water on the road.
Right.
Be careful this morning.
So there's definitely a backup there. You can also check out Virginia 511 if you're traveling, just to see. There was something going on in my neck of the woods this morning.
Oh, really?
There were emergency
vehicles.
What
was it, a couple of raccoons and a
I don't know.
Bear get together?
Yeah.
Had a crash
on 130. But no, we passed some fire trucks, ambulances, stuff like that, heading up 130.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly where they were going,
but
something was going on because everybody was running towards the... towards the incident. But yeah, just keep that in mind if you are going to be traveling on I-81 just past the 581 interchange.
Okay.
Northbound shut down.
All right. We like hearing from Senator Kennedy. He's been commenting on Biden's Build Back Better. It's not really getting Built Back Better.
You mentioned oil and inflation. President Biden was inaugurated on January 20 of last year. So we are on day 488 of Build Back Better. So far,
this is better.
The policy failures from this administration have gushed like an open fire hydrant. You mentioned oil. The president is clearly obstructing America from drilling for its own oil and for environmental reasons, he says. Instead, he wants us to buy oil from foreign countries. Those foreign countries transport that oil to us in tankers that use 2,000 gallons of fuel per hour and emit 8 tons of CO2 per hour. The irony is rich. I mean, that's a special kind of stupid. On inflation?
Yeah.
On inflation, here's what the American people see. President Biden gave Americans three $600 stimulus checks. And then, for his next trick, he crashed their 401ks and increased their gasoline bills by $800, their food bills by $3,000. Now, unless you have untreated mental illness, you know that is not a good trade. And that's why most Americans, at least on the economy, would right now would not trust the Biden administration to properly open a PayPal. Its economic illiteracy is astounding. President Biden says that he has no control over gasoline prices and oil prices. You can't have regulatory control over the drilling, transport, storage, refining, trading, and taxation of oil as the president does and accurately make that statement. And the American people just don't believe him because it's just not true.
Yep.
So, and not to mention the fact that there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of products made with petroleum.
Right.
I mean, you know, like everything.
Apparently pizza's made with petroleum.
I don't know.
I know they have to fire up the ovens and such, but apparently there's petroleum inside the pizza.
Well, yeah, those prices. As expensive as it was. But if you look at a list, I mean, of all the things
that are petroleum-based.
I mean, everything from food preservatives, rubbing alcohol, I didn't know that, hair coloring, glycerin, bicycle tires, diesel fuel, ballpoint pens, nail polish, toilet seats, denture adhesive.
Holy cow.
I mean, toothpaste, bandages, hair curlers, drinking cups, footballs, aspirin.
Did not know.
Luggage, combs, vaporizer, heart valves. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
People can't be this stupid. Can they?
Well, the ones that keep voting these politicians that want to take us to the green death, you know, walk, they have to be either uneducated or they're very trusting to a people that really don't care. Because you know, Janet, you know these people that pull the strings and run the powerful situation. They're going to have all these things.
Right.
The common person will not. You know,
Johnny says, yes, they are that stupid. I guess so. Yeah. Well, here's a man who is not stupid. A doctor in Massachusetts has said that he is not going to be continuing practicing medicine in Massachusetts because last month he received an email from the State Board of Registration in Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Dr. Harb is listening and will weigh in on this.
Yeah.
Informing him that to maintain his license, he had to complete a continuing medical education requirement on implicit bias in healthcare.
Bias in healthcare.
Mm-hmm. He says, Massachusetts has been a center of excellence in medicine, so it's particularly distressing to see politics intrude into this life-saving field.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot and will not be party to the ideological corruption of my profession. It will injure physicians and patients alike. My approach to medicine was shaped by two early influences, my father, who was a physician, and Dr. Martin Luther King, who I had the privilege to hear speak in person on several occasions.
Oh, cool.
As a 16-year-old boy, I already wanted to go to medical school. I was changed forever by the I Have a Dream speech in 1963, particularly when he says, every person should be treated with dignity and respect, judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character.
Right.
That's the way I've always treated every patient, and virtually every physician I know lives by the same values. The Massachusetts mandate essentially says, I'm incapable of doing what Dr. Clint King declared and what the Hippocratic Oath demands. Mm-hmm. Implicit bias training is premised on the notion that I am inherently prejudiced towards those who don't look like me and unconsciously driven to provide them with a lower standard of care, a claim that has no medical or scientific basis. This is both personally insulting and professionally dangerous. I categorically reject it. This is a black doctor.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my. Jeez.
Ian Rowe.
Okay.
He says, trust between physicians and patients is essential.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that trust withers when the presumption of implicit bias takes root. What patient would seek care from a supposedly biased physician? That's pretty insulting. He said, if I participated in this farce, I would be violating the promises I made to my patients and profession. I refuse to do it. Admittedly, my refusal to renew my license won't have much impact. I no longer live or practice in Massachusetts, though I have long maintained my license out of ties to the state and respect for its reputation in the medical field. Yet the many physicians who do fulfill this requirement will inevitably feel its harmful effects to the ultimate detriment of medical care.
Wow.
Crazy.
866-916-3776. You're on the Morning Jam. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay.
We lost him. Dang.
Do you know who it was?
I don't.
I was hoping it was Dr. Harb.
Well, it might have been.
I would think... I mean, that's insulting in general to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But in medicine?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the days of rejecting... you can't turn down... The Hippocratic Oath won't let you do that.
Right.
You know, first do no harm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it.
Crazy.
And just to know this particular doctor's journey from... You know, Dr. King giving that speech, him taking it and really making that part of who
he
was
yeah.
as a doctor coming up and wanting to serve his community. And he sounds like he's not so up on the equity thing, Janet.
Mm-hmm. Most rational thinking people are not.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, we'll be back. We got some phone calls lined
up.
We'll be back and do those.
Through.
In just a second, and after this break, we appreciate you listening to The Morning Jam here on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
You put it on your toast and on the radio at daybreak. The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears.
Jackson Brown for you this morning.
Good stuff.
7:23, we have Dr. Harb on the line. I think he's there now. Good morning.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, guys. Hey, Mark. Hey, Janet.
How you doing?
Hi.
Yes, so I did read. Hey, Janet. Yeah, that's an interesting article, wasn't it, Janet, about the Massachusetts doctor there.
I found it enlightening. Scary.
Very enlightening.
But enlightening.
Yeah. But what I'm seeing kind of in the medical world, especially in Virginia, that has to do with that, it's not quite as radical as Massachusetts, of course, but you do definitely see in the last couple of years in the journals that I read, like Journal American Medical Association and Family Practice Journal and a couple other journals on a regular basis. And in these journals, you consistently and much more than in the past see articles all the time, especially in JAMA, talking about racial issues in medicine and how that the current medical curriculums and medical education models are racist. And what's going on as far as that really in the medical schools in America right now, and it's happening, is that they're changing the medical school curriculum to, quote unquote, make it less racist. You know, when I went to MCV years ago in Richmond, you know, we were graded every course, you know, every rotation we took. If we took a rotation in cardiology or whatever, we were graded on a written exam and like a 2-hour oral exam and also clinical performance scores. We were graded on 3 scores. And now they're saying that the clinical performance scores are essentially racist and that the oral exams are essentially racist in some way. And so
explain to me how that's possible. What are they referring to?
Well, the theory is that if you have students in medical school who were being orally examined, you know, through a board of doctors asking you questions, which is what we did, or you're performing in the clinical setting, you know, you're talking to patients and presenting the cases to doctors every morning in rounds. They're saying that if you're not, I got to be careful what I say here, but if it's the traditional model, it's racist because it doesn't take into consideration the different ways people were educated in high school or grew up in different areas or neighborhoods or whatever. So that's kind of what's going on. There's a pressure to really water down the way that you're tested in medical school and do less of the oral exams and less of the judgment on clinical performance.
My niece, I mean, she's a doctor, and I mean, what she went through was a lot.
Yeah.
And it is kind of this pressure cooker scenario to really weed out the ones that really aren't made to be thrust into emergency situations, you know, and making decisions and sometimes split seconds. So this is part of the process to kind of, you know, maybe you won't be a doctor, but maybe you'll be in the medical field, but you just didn't quite have enough to make it as a medical doctor. It seems to me then we're going to be putting out, you know, students that aren't as qualified, it seems to me.
Right. I totally agree. We're going to, in the future, as the future comes forward in medical education, I think we're going to be putting out a standard of doctors that's generally lower than, you know, and I'm not saying what I went through was, you know, was the best situation, but it was, you know, like when I did my surgery rotation when I was in medical school down at MCV, it was a 3-month rotation and we had to, you know, there's never a day off. We had to work, we worked about 4:30 or 5 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week for 3 months, and every third night, all night long.
Yeah.
And this was for 3 months, and it was like a killer thing. And they said, well, you got to live here, you got to live medicine to learn medicine.
Mm.
So that, sort of the theory in those days is you live medicine to learn medicine.
Okay.
And now it's different. And one of the other things is that we have to, I've been out of medical school for many years on a residency, but we have to do something called maintenance of certification. So every 7 to 10 years, I actually have to go take the board exam with the new graduates from residency program.
Wow.
And so I'm preparing that for now for my next one. And, you know, I study for 2 years for those things every time. And, you know, I mean, I read and study every day, but I also study more severely, you know,
sure,
for those exams. But they're also now talking about cutting that down and reducing this, you know, they're talking about not really requiring that really hard test every 7 to 10 years to make sure that you have the clinical knowledge to continue to be a safe practicing physician.
That's terrifying, practicing, because people's skills deteriorate over time. And some people it does quicker than others. Yeah. How else are we going to find that out?
Now, is this again part of the whole, we're just going to lower the bar on everything?
Yeah, this is part of lowering the bar on everything.
But isn't that insulting? Because what that says is, you know, we want to meet these requirements. The airlines are doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can get more women and more people of color in these roles is to dumb it down because they're too stupid to do it otherwise. That's so insulting.
Right. it's insulting to me. I mean, you know, I've been, you know, we
yeah,
really
you worked
had to
your
go
tail
through the
off.
Mill to do this thing.
Hey, I bet you paid I bet you paid your student loans too, didn't you? Crazy.
Paid them all myself. Hey, and guess what? I worked when I was in medical school. I continued to work two or three nights a week at the VA Medical Center, McGuire in Richmond.
Imagine
I continued
that.
To pay for my my school down there.
I know it's a novel idea. Would it be? We could get back there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for weighing in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Norm.
Thanks.
Love hearing you guys all the time. Take care now.
And thank you for those stories that you send me. Just eye-opening stuff.
I mean, anybody who hears this, who isn't just, and we knew it was coming. We knew it was coming with Obamacare. Sorry.
Right, right.
Anytime the government gets involved in anything, it's going to be blown all to hell. Excuse my language. But you can count on it. That's you can take it to the bank.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And that's what we're seeing for sure.
Yeah.
See, that's even worse than I thought it was.
Right, right.
And I thought it was pretty horrible.
Yeah, from what this guy was saying, sure.
Well, that's why we encourage you all to call us, and because we all learn from each other.
Yeah,
for
we sure do. Sure do. 7:30, we'll have some CBS News coming up here in about 30 seconds. Kimberly McBroom has a couple of stories for you all to take in as well. She's going to talk about the Botetourt County investigating a robbery. Radford police searching for a man fired a shot near a Radford Coffee Company. And then the second rail service from Roanoke to D.C. coming later this year. Those will be the stories she's covering. Janet and I will have a couple stories and then more. Come to the table Tuesday. Saw a few of you have signed in already for that. Please continue to do.
57 now in Lynchburg, 58 in Bedford, 58 in Roanoke and Salem. Light rain all through those areas. Danville looks like the rain may have stopped for a little while, but is expected to pick back up again. It's 59 there, 56 in Appomattox.
Okay. So, speaking of Danville, rain. Danville judge yesterday denied bond for one of two people charged in a January shoplifting that included assault and a car crash. It happened at the Walmart Supercenter in Mount Cross Road. A loss prevention specialist called Danville police about a pair of shoplifters. That is interesting. A loss prevention specialist. Didn't know there was such a thing. I guess those are the people that walk around and look at shoplifters.
That's who found, who discovered the kid that had stolen my credit card that time.
Really?
He was actually a regional one. He would come around and evaluate stores and that type thing.
Yeah.
And the kid approached him like wrong person to approach, buddy.
Oh, no. Well, Officer S.C. Parker approached the man. Police say that the 24-year-old Parker Wright of Ruffin assaulted Parker and ran to the getaway car where the 21-year-old Billings minor of Samora was behind the wheel, you know, the getaway car. And they ran off and actually tried to sort of hit the guy to get him out of the way. I mean, that's the assault. And then later on, they crashed into a car in the intersection of Piedmont and Executive Drive. An officer saw the two run away. They were arrested nearby. The driver of the car was hit and then taken to the hospital. Needless to say, he's denied bond for the one guy, you know. Here's the thing about a vehicle. It's a 3,500 to 4,000 pound weapon.
Oh, no doubt.
And
deadly weapon.
That's a serious business. Wright was charged with a felony assault and battery on a police officer, obstruction of justice, shoplifting, disorderly conduct, and the list goes on and on.
On earth could you possibly steal that's worth that?
At a Walmart. I know. Maybe he probably bought the Walmart brand peanut butter because the Jif was tainted.
Right, exactly.
Or he didn't buy it. He probably walked out with it.
I don't know. A drug arrest operation ended with several people behind bars. This is in Bedford County. Deputies arrested John Chaney of Stanton during a routine traffic stop on Friday, the 6th of May. When they pulled him over, they found a pound of meth, 4.6 grams of heroin, and $2,000 in cash.
Wow.
He is facing quite a few charges. Then on Tuesday, May the 10th, they arrested five more people in connection with drug charges. David Turner of Big Island, George Lynch of Thaxton, Megan Orange of Bedford, they face distribution of methamphetamine. And then Stormy Wills of the town of Bedford and Trey Calloway of Forest were also arrested on drug charges. The sheriff's office says there were three other people who were arrested on outstanding warrants. The U.S. Marshals Service and the town of Bedford Police Department assisted in the arrest.
Okay.
All right. Cleaning it up. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Hard times. We've talked about it. Gas prices, people struggling. Lynchburg Blue Ridge Area Food Bank sees a rise in demand across the country and across the Commonwealth. Food banks are feeling the impact of rising inflation and increased demand, according to James Quaid Branch, operation manager at the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank in Lynchburg. The Midwest usually sees the demand trends first, and those rates can serve as a forecast to other areas, and that seems to be the case. The Midwest up 30%, while Lynchburg is still behind. The food bank will see about a 14% increase in demand, and that's just over the span of the last month. So if you're in a position to help, you know, your local food banks out in our listening area, please do so, because obviously the demand is increasing.
Authorities are investigating after a Covington man's body was discovered in West Virginia on Saturday morning. According to the Greenbrier County Sheriff's Office, a 911 call came in around 7:22 on Saturday about a body in a parking lot of a boat launch at Anthony on the Greenbrier River. West Virginia State Troopers, members of the White Sulphur Springs EMS, responded to the area, found the man lying dead in the parking lot. Afterwards, members of the Sheriff's Office's crime scene unit came out to process for evidence. The man has been identified as 58-year-old James Courtney Simpson Jr. of Covington. He was transported to the Chief Medical Examiner's Office in Charleston for an autopsy to determine his cause of death. They say if you noticed any activity in the area around during those early morning hours, you're asked to call the Greenbrier County Sheriff's Office. So I hope Lynchburg Police Department is taking notes on this case. You'll notice they did not assume he had died from natural causes and have the body cremated. I'm sorry. It's going to be years and years and years before I get over that story that we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Craziness.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, you said 48. Is this 48 hours still do a show? I don't know.
Yes.
But you know.
Because I watch all of them.
Okay. Because there's plenty of Crime Stopper shows.
Which is why
shows.
I'm so good at, like, you know, finding out how you did it.
No. I just watch Monk. I like a little comedy with my tragedy.
Oh, like to throw it in there a little bit. Right. No, I do. I watch them all.
Everything.
2020, mm-hmm. 48 hours.
Okay.
Paula Zahn.
Yeah. Oh, Paula Zahn's still doing
Dateline.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all, I mean, every Paula Zahn that she's ever made is on Discovery Plus.
Really?
All of them. Yep.
Okay.
Can't binge watch that. She's been doing it a long time.
Wow.
For sure.
Hmm.
So we were talking about, we've been talking about inflation mm-hmm. a lot. We've been having listeners who have called in and, sharing some of the just outrageous
just the
prices.
But Biden said there's no recession. No.
Well, yesterday I bought dog food.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't as expensive as filling up my car, but it was close.
Really?
The dog food was $50.
Wow.
Golly. For a 40-pound bag. And this isn't some fancy schmancy dog food either. And then it was $60 to fill up my car. $60.
Yeah.
And it's
crazy. And it doesn't have a big tank. It's not that big of a tank.
No, it's not.
Because it's a mid-size.
Still not as expensive as the Domino's pizza our listener
ordered. Can you imagine that? Hey, I'm going to get some gas and some pizza.
No.
Honey, do we have $120 in the bank I can tap?
Right.
I mean.
I know.
I see the issues just increasing. I mean, bankruptcies. You're going to see all kinds of things. You're just going to see some of these people that. Maybe bought
houses. Rushed and bought houses.
That shouldn't have.
That won't hold their value.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're not going to hold their value.
One of the things Senator Kennedy, and I edited it because he said it wrong. He said, you know, your housing is, your roof over your head is going up $2,000 a month. He meant a year, so I took it out of there. But we're looking at $2,000 more a year just to rent and or, you know, look at housing.
Yeah.
I mean, utilities are going up. Everybody passes the buck.
Right.
You know, here's the thing about business. They're either going to say we can't do it anymore or they're going to pass it on.
Right.
You know, and you know, sadly, when we see some businesses that just say, I just can't do this any longer.
Right.
The costs have just become too much to handle.
Literally cost prohibitive.
Janet, the thing is, people don't understand the burden that a business owner has on themselves.
Right.
To make payroll taxes. Don't ever be late. I was once, never did that again. I was one day late and looked at, I think it was a $200-$300 fine. And I had a small business with just 5 employees.
Right.
But it, just the burden on business owners is just ginormous.
Well, because you not only bear a responsibility for your family, but you feel the responsibility of every employee you have, their families, all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Still have some friends that are in business. I want to explore this just a little bit because this was something that I said, and here's the thing. It doesn't take a lot to predict how things probably are going to go or how they went. It just, we don't know it yet. I made a statement the other day when we were talking about the baby formula crisis.
Right.
And I said, the FDA, they're a ginormous, I mean, I used that word twice in the last 5 minutes. Sorry, people. They're an enormous federal bureaucracy. And this is why Janet and I are small government people.
Right.
Because when something gets so big, it gets out of hand.
Right.
And you know, you don't even know what half the people are doing in your place of business.
Yeah, it's bloated and they elevate mediocrity. They've always done that.
Yep.
Always.
Senator Cassidy is talking about the FDA. And I made the prediction because it was back in February when we found out that this was a problem. What's the FDA been doing? Obviously nothing.
The woman in New Orleans, 3 children, can't find formula, and she feeds them 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And they're kind of wondering, does the administration really care? Not the kind of words they say, but we know that Abbott had to start signaling this 3 months ago. FDA could have had everything lined up in order to have things here when kind of things hit the fan. And they didn't. So there's either incompetence or just kind of a lack of oversight, or the perception is they just don't care.
The White House maintains that they've been working on this since day one, but they won't answer a question, which is, when did President Biden find out about it?
You know, I'm willing to say that there should have been a competent lieutenant that would have taken this on, but the fact is somebody should have taken it on. Mm-hmm. Now, since it's really gotten worse, they've been able to move relatively quickly. They could have moved quickly 3 months ago, and this never would have happened.
Because the wheels of government turn very slow.
Right.
Very slow.
And as I was told, if it's going fast, you're probably doing it wrong.
Right.
So
this problem could have been diverted at least to where we wouldn't be where we're at. Our military aircraft is flying baby formula from Europe to pull us out of the nosedive that we're in.
Mm.
It just doesn't make sense. I don't know why we have these agencies that they can't do their damn jobs.
Yeah. Well, you know? they can't. Hey, we got to go to break.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a Jeep weekend. Very, very popular. You know, Jeep weekends are a lot of fun.
Oh, they happen up in Nelson.
Yeah, we used to have a Jeep night at Friday Cheers.
Oh, okay.
Texas's go topless Jeep weekend. Well, let's put it this way. I'll do this for Trey. It's not the best idea they've ever had.
Oh my gosh.
You're welcome.
Hungry for some truth with a side of common sense?
You want answers?
Then you found the right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
God bless Texas.
Well, I don't know about blessed. The this year's Go Topless Jeep Weekend in Texas did not end well.
Hmm.
Was well attended, though.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
By a bunch of 14-year-old boys.
Yeah. I don't think that's what they meant by going topless. There's been a misunderstanding. It's kind of like when I showed up at the salsa class with a bag of chips. That was not what they meant.
I just got it.
Can you take the top off the Jeep?
Right. Yeah, uh-huh. Just the roll cage.
Right.
Okay.
Right, got it? You got it? Well, apparently you weren't the only one that misunderstood. Anyway, there were over 100 arrests.
Oh, geez.
Dozens of people, including a sheriff's deputy, was sent to the hospital.
What?
80,000 people attended the weekend-long event for Jeep enthusiasts.
Right.
At the Crystal Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Galveston County Sheriff told Fox 27 Houston more than 100 people were arrested as deputies responded to multiple assaults, fights, mm-hmm. and DWIs.
Mm-hmm.
One of his deputies was responding to a crash around 1:30 in the morning when he was struck by a suspected drunk driver in another vehicle.
Wow.
The 22-year-old from China, a city in Jefferson County, Texas, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer. He was held on a $100,000 bond. A deputy nearly went through the car's windshield due to the impact.
Goodness.
Suffered two broken legs as well as an arm head injury and was undergoing surgery on Sunday morning. 38 individuals were transported to area hospitals during Jeep Weekend. That included 8 people brought in by helicopter and dozens transported by ground.
Oh.
They say that Saturday's event alone was attended by over 40,000 people.
Holy cow.
And that the large influx of people strained emergency services,
mm-hmm.
Noting the significant increase in the size of the crowds this year. Apparently, they always have a lot of arrest at this.
Sure. Yeah.
Is it that economically beneficial to do this, that it's worth all that?
I'm sure that deputy doesn't think so.
Yeah,
you had to have to ask, I guess, business owners and as they assess the situation.
But now I will say this about that. Not all Jeep weekends are like that.
No.
Because the Nelson County one has long.
They all got their tops on.
A great. they've always had a great reputation. Right. And like I say, we welcome them every year.
I remember driving. I made the mistake of trying to.
And they would line up and it was great. Yeah,
to go to Afton Mountain that weekend. Holy cow. because of where they drive off to up there in Nelson County and that where they do all the different, you know, the little obstacle courses. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And it's a lot of fun. And you know, that's my husband's dream car.
Oh, it's a Jeep.
A Jeep.
Okay.
Yeah. And every time we pass one, he has to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. Yes. He's like, I don't like that one or I like this one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My buddy has an old, I think it's a 1980. It's like the Jeep pickup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like a CJ5, but kind of like a pickup too. He loves it. I mean, that's his dream car.
Okay.
And he drives it to work and it's very basic, but I mean, it's not a lot of thrills. And but the newer ones obviously they have a lot of gadgets and stuff, but he's got the old school one.
So what is your dream car?
Oh, my dream car! Holy cow! Well, it's
and a, listeners,
it's a
what
truck.
Is your dream car? 434-248-0704. I want to know.
It is a A100 Dodge pickup.
Okay,
and that has got the van cab because I had one as a teenager. There's two vehicles that's my dream vehicles, actually. I would love to have one of those or the 60s models of the Volkswagen Microbus with all the extra windows at the top. It's the fully beach model window Volkswagen Microbus with all the windows.
My dream car is a fully restored Volkswagen.
Oh, okay.
Beetle.
A Beetle, okay.
With a stick shift.
Yeah.
That would be my dream car.
Yeah.
That's what I would want.
a red and white one. I'd like to have a red and white one. And it's got, like I say, it has additional windows above the windows. There's like windows in the roof on both sides, right where the roof sort of turns up. Those are
a 70 Cuda. I don't know what that is.
A Cuda?
What is that?
It's a Mopar.
A what?
It's a Dodge.
Oh, okay.
Or could be a Plymouth, but it's same company. A Cuda 1970. Yeah, that's the kind that Don Johnson drove in the TV show that he did after Miami Vice. He was a cop, and I can't remember the name of the TV show, but he had a yellow Cuda. Him and the other Cheech. It's Tommy Chong's birthday, I guess, today. Uh-huh. Cheech. Cheech was Don Johnson's partner on this CBS detective show or police show.
Okay.
He drove around a yellow Cuda.
Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not the sexiest car, but that's what I would love to have.
Okay, yeah.
A 72 red Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
I remember those.
I worked with a guy, Wayne Fanning.
Mm-hmm.
He loved him a Corvette.
Did he?
Loved it.
Did he have one, or?
I don't know if he has one or not. Oh. He, knowing Wayne, he probably does.
Does now, yeah.
Although he's so long, I don't know how he would get in it.
Oh, but, okay, tall guy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been, Wayner's pretty tall.
Yeah.
But Nash Bridges.
Nash Somebody Bridges, thank you. Thank you, Nash Bridges. Yeah, that was a pretty decent show.
Bear says, a dependable 4x4 van.
Yeah. No, okay. I get that.
All right.
Well, he has to have a 4x4 where he's living in a van, you know, down by the river.
Right.
Probably would do him really well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because people think of dream cars. They're like, oh, I want a Jaguar.
Right.
Can you see a Jaguar out where we live?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, they'd bottom out probably on some of those little, you know, washboard ripples in your road.
My Volkswagen Beetle might bottom out too. I don't know.
Yeah, I watched Meekum for a little bit this weekend. It's the car auctions, and there was a it's this Super B Dodge sold for $815,000.
That's crazy.
A 67.
Liz says a 69 Camaro Super Sport.
Yeah. 396, huh? Probably. Maybe a 427. Engine.
Vroom, vroom. Dale's saying maybe a Sherman tank. You might need one by the if we keep going the way we are.
Oh my gosh. I hope it runs on sunflower seeds or something.
That's right. Hope it's electric. Boogie woogie woogie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Isn't that amazing what Senator Kennedy said? 2,000 gallons
right.
And an hour or a mile or whatever for these ships to run crude over to us.
Right.
And the footprint is ginormous as far as, that must be the word of the day for me.
Yeah.
It's crazy, the carbon footprint that these ships are leaving.
Right. But technically we're not doing it.
Right.
Even though we're ordering it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It is. 8 o'clock almost, here in about 30 seconds, CBS News coming at you, along with Bill Trefiro. He'll have the local stories. Janet and I will be back. We'll pick our winner in the next hour as well. For our Come to the Table Tuesday, you can still participate by texting us 434-248-0704 and tell us why you would like to eat dinner with 9 other people.